Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, November the 26th. Hope you had a wonderful weekend and so happy you decided to spend part of your Monday morning with us. We had intended on having two guests with different perspectives on the fairness doctrine with us this hour, but we're having a little trouble finding our first scheduled guest, who is from the conservative media watchdog group AIM, or Accuracy in Media. He was going to tell us why he thinks a U.S. Senate committee earlier this month launched a war on conservative talk radio when it held a hearing on the topic of media diversity or media ownership rules. Since we're having a hard time finding our guest from AIM, we called up our second scheduled guest this morning, who is with the group Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, or FAIR, to give us a different perspective on this issue. So we will maybe reverse the order of our guests this morning, or maybe we'll have one perspective for you. Our guest, Isabel McDonald, is Communications Director of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, and we'll talk about these issues of whether or not we need to bring back the Fairness Doctrine and or whether we need more diversity in media. 1-800-642-1234, if you would like to weigh in on the issues, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Well, let's welcome in Elizabeth McDonald, Communications Director of Fairness and Accuracy in Media. Good morning.
Good morning.
And thanks again for joining us earlier than expected. Cliff Kincaid, who was our supposed to be our guest in this half hour, sent out a news release recently saying that Democrats in Congress want to silence conservative talk radio by bringing back the Fairness Doctrine. And he said that a hearing held earlier this month on media diversity, which featured a prominent advocate of the Fairness Doctrine testifying, is evidence of this. And he said that this committee hearing was the first launch in the war against conservative talk radio. First of all, do you agree with him? Are Democrats launching a war against conservative talk radio?
Well, the Federal Communications Committee that is that would be responsible for bringing back the Fairness Doctrine if it was to be brought back is dominated by Republicans at the present time. So I think it would be very unlikely that it would happen under the current Republican administration. There is a chance that it will be brought back on the table by a future Democratic administration, but we don't really know that for sure. So really, this is quite preemptive on the part of AIM and on the part of the conservatives that are rallying around this issue right now. The other point, though, is that the way that AIM has and a lot of conservatives have characterized the Fairness Doctrine is as a war on conservative talk radio is extremely misleading.
Why do you say that?
Well, the Fairness Doctrine really comes out of the 1927 Radio Act. It's based the reason that it was introduced in the first place was that unlike print media, where in theory anybody can start a newspaper, of course there are problems because not everybody has money to start a newspaper, but the First Amendment gives, in theory, any American the right to start a newspaper if they don't like what's on offer in the press. Now, with broadcasting, it's different because there's a limited number of licenses that are given out. And historically, we've seen that the First Amendment is interpreted differently with regard to broadcasting. And instead of the rights of free speech are actually rights that the public has, and they can't be seen as something that is restricted to the people who happen to own the licenses to broadcast or who happen to be granted licenses for broadcasting. In theory, the public airwaves do belong to the public as a whole. So the problem is that there are always fewer broadcast licenses than there are people who could benefit from having them to put forth their their views and to inform the public. So that puts certain responsibilities on the shoulders of those who have the licenses. And so that's really where the fairness doctrine originates. And really there were two main things that the fairness doctrine accomplished. The first was to ensure that broadcasters covered issues of controversy to the communities they served. So mm-hmm. there were requirements that they cover issues of public interest about which there was some political controversy.
Mm-hmm.
And the second component of the fairness doctrine was that they had to cover these controversies in such a way that it was not just one single perspective that dominated. And there wasn't actually any equal time provision, so you didn't have to give equal time to an opposing viewpoint, but you did have to give some space to opposing viewpoints, particularly if the public there were complaints from the public saying, "Hey, we've just heard only one perspective on this particular issue. We would like to hear another perspective. That's our right to know that." That is how the fairness doctrine was used by public interest groups to ensure that there was a representation of a range of viewpoints mm-hmm. on matters of public policy.
We have to check our weather forecast, and then we'll continue talking about fairness on the airwaves and wondering if we should have a fairness doctrine in place or not. 1-800-642-1234. If you have a thought or a question on this, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is Isabel McDonald, Communications Director of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, November the 26th. Coming up this afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. After 5, Ben's guest will talk about how you can get the best customer service and what to do when you don't. That's coming up after 5 o'clock this afternoon. We're talking about diversity of viewpoints heard in the media, on the media, and talking with a guest, Isabel McDonald, Communication Director of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, talking about the calls by some to bring back the fairness doctrine and the concern by some that the fairness doctrine may come back, wondering if you think we ought to bring back the fairness doctrine. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Ms. McDonald, talk some about whether the proposals to relax media ownership rules, which the FCC has been holding hearings on, and whether that is at all related to this talk about bringing back the fairness doctrine.
Well, what we've seen at some of the recent hearings on the relaxation of the rules that had previously limited cross-ownership of media, so prohibiting media corporations from owning both a newspaper and radio or TV station in a particular market. What we've seen at the hearings, because the FCC is proposing to relax those regulations so that media corporations could own more cross-owned media, and there has been a response from a lot of citizens who are concerned about how this is going to impact the media that we rely on for information. And one argument that we've seen come up by people who are critical of the increased concentration of media that would result from these proposed changes is that there is already a real problem with a lack of diversity in media offerings. There was recently a study that was conducted by Free Press, which found that the number of media organizations that are owned by minority communities will be dramatically reduced if these ownership changes go forth. So that means that already we have a situation where there are disproportionately few people of color whose voices are heard in the media, and this promises to just push that trend further along so that there are more minority communities excluded from the public airwaves. And studies that have been done by the Benton Foundation and the Pew Foundation historically have found that there is a lot less. This was research, this is quite recent research, found that there's a lot less discussion of public interest issues on the public airwaves, and this is particularly extreme for local television. And what's more, what we do have in terms of political coverage on talk radio especially is extremely dominated by conservatives. Now, judging from the past couple of elections, this does not reflect American public opinion as a whole. We've seen quite close elections, the last two elections. And so if you have the public airwaves that are overwhelmingly dominated by one single political group, that's a real problem for democracy. So these are some of the issues that tend to come out when there is a discussion of further relaxing ownership rules, because if you have fewer corporations who own more of the media, chances are that the trends that we've already seen in terms of the exclusion of minority owners, the exclusion of minority viewpoints, and the dominance of right-wing media personalities is going to be just exacerbated by further relaxing ownership rules. So these discussions have been going on as the FCC considers further relaxing ownership rules. It's true. But there is really nothing that is going to be done under the current Republican administration. Even Accuracy in Media, the group that is raising an alarm over this, acknowledges this point, that there is no threat until there is a Democratic administration that might take some different course of action.
We are talking with Isabel McDonald, Communication Director of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, and welcoming your thoughts and questions on whether or not we should revive the fairness doctrine or whether or not we should relax media ownership rules. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I want to apologize for a few gremlins that we have this Monday morning. I couldn't find our originally scheduled guest for this first half hour, who was going to be Cliff Kincaid, editor at Accuracy in Media, who had said that the U.S. Senate, a Senate committee, had launched a war against conservative talk radio with a recent hearing. We'll see if we can find him for our second half hour. So we are talking with a guest from Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting first on this issue and welcoming your thoughts and questions for her. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or talk@wpr.org. And Isabel McDonald, the other question I had for you is that this Congress is holding some hearings now on this media diversity or media ownership rules, and the FCC chairman had mentioned that he wants this all wrapped up by the end of the year. Are you concerned over how quickly now these media ownership rules are going to be taken up?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what we saw with the last hearing, which was held a couple of weeks ago in Seattle, was that we didn't even have any notice that the hearing was going to happen, and it's the FCC that is supposed to set this in a timely fashion, and the idea, it's a public hearing, so you have to give the public notice if you expect participation. And they only announced it 1 week before the final hearing in which the FCC was going to hear from the public, from public interest groups, about what they thought of the idea of relaxing ownership, these remaining ownership rules. So I think that there really is a problem in terms of how the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, is organizing processes of public input. That's a real issue. One thing that Accuracy in Media, the group that was supposed to be on the air debating me on this issue today, has really mobilized around was an amendment that was introduced by Representative Mike Pence, who's a Republican, and this was supposed to tie the hands of a future Democratic administration from providing any funding to the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, for reintroducing the fairness doctrine. So it's certainly something so that is one of the recent congressional actions that sort of relates to the fairness doctrine, and that was actually overwhelmingly passed.
That is the so-called Broadcaster Freedom Act?
It was, yes, mm-hmm. Exactly, mm-hmm. Exactly.
All right, let's take some calls. Brian in Auburndale is with us first. Hi, Brian, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you very much. I had two comments. One, is there any relationship between the expiration of the Fairness Act and the fall off of people's interest in broadcast news? And two, I can't understand what the problem would be with the Fairness Doctrine. Why would people have problems with people getting both sides of the view from the same station? Thank you.
Do you know if the Fairness Doctrine, expiring and lack of ratings for news programs go hand in hand, Isabel McDonald?
Well, I think that the lack of coverage of issues of public interest is directly related to the fact that we don't have a fairness doctrine anymore. There are a lot of other factors, but the fact that we see so little coverage on particularly local TV of issues of public interest to the community that the TV is, by virtue of its license, supposed to serve, is related to the fact that this mechanism that historically had given the public an opportunity to object if issues of pressing concern in their communities were not being covered, and would also give them room to call for a diversity of viewpoints to be represented about issues of public controversy. Mm. These things are directly related.
I have to jump in because we're coming up on our first newscast from National Public Radio. And I hope, Isabel McDonald, you can stay with us for your next half hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Monday, November the 26th. Hoping you'll join in our discussion on whether or not we should bring back the Fairness Doctrine. Talking about fairness on the airwaves and welcoming your thoughts and questions. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We did find our originally scheduled guest for our last half hour, Cliff Kincaid, editor at Accuracy in Media, or AIM, a media watchdog organization, who said that a U.S. Senate committee earlier this month launched a war on conservative talk radio by featuring a witness who is an advocate of bringing back the Fairness Doctrine, who testified that more diversity of ownership of media outlets would solve the problem of, quote, hate speech on talk radio programs. We will welcome in Cliff Kincaid in just a few moments, but we will finish up our discussion with Isabel McDonald, Communications Director of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. We had a question still on the table before news time, Isabel McDonald, from a listener who couldn't understand why anyone would object to providing different sides to controversial issues on the same station. Why don't I have you tell us why your group thinks the Fairness Doctrine is a good thing to have?
Yeah, I think that it's interesting to look at what the objections. I don't really understand why anybody in good faith would object to the idea that having a broadcast license would oblige a station to cover issues of public interest, and would also oblige a station to ensure that there is more than one viewpoint that is presented on issues of public interest.
Well, let me try. In the radio business, normally you don't have 1 hour with a Rush Limbaugh, a person giving a conservative viewpoint, and then the next hour with Ed Schultz giving a progressive viewpoint, and then the next hour, a moderate viewpoint. Those would argue that if you want to listen to Rush Limbaugh, you can listen to Rush Limbaugh. If you want to listen to Ed Schultz, you can listen to Ed Schultz on different stations.
For sure, but it didn't. The Fairness Doctrine would not have ensured that kind of a lineup at all. It never did. In fact, during the period that the Fairness Doctrine was in effect, there was a massive rise of right-wing radio. Right-wing hosts frequently dominated talk show schedules, even in liberal cities. And there's no record of any of them ever being muzzled. There was considerable freedom, editorial freedom, that was given to broadcasters to represent an opposing viewpoint in various kinds of formats. So there could be an editorial, there could be a public affairs, there could be a whole public affairs program, but there could also just be a show where there would be a guest who was brought on who was from the opposing viewpoint. So it's not, it didn't ensure an equal amount of coverage for different political viewpoints in the first place. It was actually quite a weak provision in many ways. But one thing that I think I'd like to end off with is to, just in response to the listener's question of why wouldn't people support the idea of broadcasters having this responsibility to the public? I think that is really key, and that is really how we have to think about how the First Amendment applies to broadcasting, where unlike the print media, there is a limited number of licenses. The public airwaves are limited, and so even given that we have cable now, we have satellite, we have the internet, there are all these other media. Still, the network, the major TV networks command huge audiences, much larger than the most popular cable shows, and so we still need to treat broadcasters as having a public responsibility. And when this actually went to court, the Fairness Doctrine went to court in 1969. The Supreme Court upheld the Fairness Doctrine against a broadcaster that was challenging it on First Amendment grounds. And the finding, as put by Supreme Court Justice Byron White, was that there is no sanctuary in the First Amendment for unlimited private censorship operating in a medium not open to all. And I think that's the key, because what the Fairness Doctrine ensures is that there is a check on broadcasters censoring viewpoints that are essential for the lifeblood of democracy, of the communities that the broadcasters are supposed to serve. So when defenders of the current status quo, where there's no Fairness Doctrine, invoke the First Amendment and free speech rights, I think they're acting quite disingenuously, because in a medium where not everybody can get a license for broadcasting, the broadcasters have a responsibility, and the Fairness Doctrine is about ensuring that there is some check on censorship by the broadcasters.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you very much for joining us and a little out of our sequence. Thanks very much for being with us.
Okay.
Isabel McDonald, Communications Director of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. We will welcome in now Cliff Kincaid, Editor at Accuracy in Media. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Great to be with you.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. Talk some on why you object to this talk of bringing back the Fairness Doctrine. What's wrong with the Fairness Doctrine?
I think it's a violation of the First Amendment, which says Congress should not basically interfere with free speech rights. And that's what the Fairness Doctrine does. It empowers federal bureaucrats to decide who gets airtime. When it was used in the past by the Kennedy and Johnson administrations, it was used to muzzle conservative media, and that's the way it is intended to be used today. This plan that was used by previous administrations was documented by Fred Friendly in his book, The Good Guys, the Bad Guys, and the First Amendment, and he quoted a former Kennedy administration official saying, quote, "Our massive strategy was to use the Fairness Doctrine to challenge and harass right-wing broadcasters and hope that the challenges would be so costly to them that they would be inhibited and decide it was too expensive to continue." And their campaign had the intended effect.
Yeah. Well, you just heard Isabel McDonald, though, say there are a limited number of broadcast licenses and these airwaves belong to the people, so why should it be up to the owners of the media companies to decide whether we hear just conservative talk or just some other kind of talk?
Well, the fact is that we've got all kinds of choices these days, more than at any time in history. We've got a media revolution that is really underway, and people can find any kind of views they want to. And there's just no reason for the federal government to get involved at this point. I mean, I believe conservatives or liberals who have their own shows ought to have different views on, like you are doing today. This is the way it should be. I just don't want the federal government to order you to do that.
Our guest is Cliff Kincaid, editor at Accuracy in Media, a media watchdog group, talking with us about whether or not to bring back the Fairness Doctrine. Cliff Kincaid says absolutely not. Our first guest this morning said yes, why not? What do you say? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up after 7 o'clock, it's our State Capitol Report, and we will talk about the prospects for campaign finance reform coming up after 7. Right now, we're talking about diversity in the media and the Fairness Doctrine with a guest who says that a U.S. Senate committee earlier this month launched an attack on conservative talk radio. A guest who is opposed to bringing back the Fairness Doctrine, Cliff Kincaid, editor at Accuracy in Media, or AIM. And let's go to the phones and take our first caller for Cliff Kincaid, and that's Mike in Rice Lake. Hi, Mike, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I remember back, you know, I'm 50 years old now, and, you know, back when part of this Fairness Doctrine was back when we had, like, with the presidential campaigns, where you'd go ahead and have, like, 15 minutes for all the candidates on a single night to go ahead and say their piece, where it wasn't interrupted by anybody. And it was given by, you know, the media had to give it to all these people. So it was a way where, you know, we actually got to hear it, and I think that was a fair way to do it.
Cliff Kincaid?
I agree. That's the fair way to do it. I just don't want the federal government to dictate it. I don't think it's wise to have broadcasters like Joy under the thumb of bureaucrats at the Federal Communications Commission. I'm in favor of what the First Amendment says. That's freedom of speech, and that means Congress should not get involved. But people ought to know that this liberal Congress is moving down the road of bringing it back and using the power of the federal government to muzzle and silence people they disagree with. You know, this is the kind of thing we used to see in the old Soviet Union.
What is this Broadcaster Freedom Act that you do support?
This is the only way to stop what's happening. This was introduced by Senator Coleman in the Senate and Mike Pence, a representative from Indiana, in the House. It would prevent the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, from bringing back the federal fairness doctrine permanently. It's called the Broadcaster Freedom Act. We need to get a majority of support in both houses and get it passed as soon as possible, because otherwise we do anticipate that a president like Hillary Clinton would appoint somebody to the FCC, giving the liberals a 3-2 majority, and they would try to bring this back in order to go after conservatives in the media.
Yeah, why not, though, Cliff Kincaid? I'm trying to figure out, you're saying that the FCC or the government shouldn't be regulating these broadcasters. But what if, again, they're the public airwaves, and if every broadcaster decided, well, we can make more money putting Rush Limbaugh on the air, so therefore we're all going to do that, then we're not, you know, I mean, it's fine and dandy to say that we should hear all sides, but then maybe we'd just hear one side.
Well, the fact is that you only listen to one side if you choose to do so. People can listen to Limbaugh. They can listen to Air America. I guess it survived its latest bankruptcy. And they can listen to you. I mean, there's so many options out there that we should not minimize them. We're in the midst of a media revolution where you can hear shows not only over the air, but through the Internet now. Through satellite, we've got XM satellite radio with hundreds of channels now. Costs very little to subscribe. We do not want to see the federal government get involved and try to inhibit this freedom of expression.
Tom in Mequon is with us now. Hi, Tom. You're on the air.
Hi. Interesting show, Joy. As Joy can tell you, I do listen to NPR, and I also listen to talk. To right-wing talk radio, and I think that I'd like to see some truth by the major media in admitting that this fairness doctrine its whole goal is to eliminate right-wing radio. And I think that right-wing radio is a direct result of the left's control of major media from the 60s through the mid-80s, when there was finally some diverse opinion, if you want to call it. And I think, too, especially nowadays, that not all right-wing radio, but some of it, is really an outlet for a voice of the American people that's not really heard anywhere else. And I think that that the left, especially, would like to silence that.
You agree, Cliff Kincaid?
Well, I think he's got an excellent point. Conservative talk radio is a response to the liberal left media monopoly that existed for so many years. And that's why you've got people like Bernie Sanders in the Senate, Maurice Hinchey in the House, complaining, because it's a dissenting voice. And like the old Soviet commissars, when they see somebody out there who's objecting to the liberal orthodoxy, their knee-jerk reaction is to try to rub it out. And this is an authoritarian, even totalitarian mindset that, in the midst of this kind of media revolution, we ought to reject out of hand.
We're talking with Cliff Kincaid, editor at Accuracy in Media, or AIM, about his organization's concerns that Democrats in Congress are attempting to revive the fairness doctrine. And he said that a U.S. Senate committee earlier this month launched a war on conservative talk radio by featuring a witness who is an advocate of bringing back the fairness doctrine. This witness testified that more diversity of ownership of media outlets would solve this problem of, quote, hate speech on talk radio programs. I'm wondering, Cliff Kincaid, if you, I don't know, are you in favor of relaxing media ownership rules, the other issue that's before the FCC and Congress?
I'm in favor of permitting more freedom, less regulation, because I think what's happened, what we've been seeing happen, has opened up more choices for the American people than ever before. And these complaints we constantly hear from the left about media monopolies and media consolidation are just invalid. One of the leading experts on this subject, Benjamin Compain, who was not allowed to give testimony before that Senate committee, has pointed out there was a time, and one of your callers referred to this, when our television choices were controlled by basically three providers, CBS, NBC, ABC. Now we've got five big companies involved, the Viacom, GE, Disney, Fox, Time Warner, but also dozens of others emerging. I mean, even Al Gore's got involved in a cable company called Current TV. These things are emerging almost on a monthly or even weekly basis. There's now radio and TV networks that you can get solely over the Internet. This is great. This is tremendous progress, and we all ought to take advantage of it. And our position at AIM is that the federal government ought to get out of the way.
1-800-642-1234 or 263-1890. There is a line open for you and time for you if you would like to weigh in on this issue. Do you agree or not with our guest, Cliff Kincaid from AIM, that Congress, government should get out of the business of broadcasters and forget about bringing back the Fairness Doctrine? Or do you want to see the Fairness Doctrine put back in place to make broadcasters put different viewpoints on the air, different perspectives rather than one side of an issue? 1-800-642-1234 and Madison 263-1890. Chuck in Endeavor is with us now. Hi, Chuck. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning to you and your guest, Joy.
Good morning.
I think that the Fairness Doctrine should be put back in place. If you notice, the Fairness Doctrine doesn't say that it would stifle any one point of view. It's just that no one point of view predominantly would be allowed to be on aired on a public media station like a radio station, which in theory are owned by the public airwaves. And I think it's needed more than ever when you see, sure, we have a lot of choices. I might have 300 television channels where 20 of them are the shopping network. But when you see people like Rupert Murdoch that has now bought the Dow Jones and owns many media outlets, many newspapers and television and radio stations, we're getting a lot of choices concentrated in the hands of one or two owners. Mm. And, you know, the Fairness Doctrine would not shut down Rush Limbaugh or some right-wing show, and it wouldn't shut down any so-called liberal news show. It would just allow that opposing viewpoint to be aired.
All right, thanks, Chuck. What about that, Cliff Kincaid? It's not going to stifle any talk radio.
Well, the fact is that it did, and this is what its intended effect was. This is why it was used by the Kennedy and Johnson administrations. And one of those involved in that campaign, Arthur Larson of the Democratic National Committee, who was involved in the campaign against conservative radio at the time, said, "We decided to use the Fairness Doctrine to harass the, quote, extreme right. In the light of Watergate," he said, "it was wrong. We felt the ends justified the means." And this is what they're going to use it for again. So this idea that, oh, it's just going to, in some vague way, permit opposing views on the air, it's going to be used by political forces, special interests, and the federal government to harass and silence conservatives and talk radio. That's why the liberals in Congress want to bring it back. That's why we need the Broadcaster Freedom Act to stop this. And we're releasing a book called The Death of Talk Radio through AIM at AIM.org in about a week or so to try to alert the public to what's really going on here.
Carl in Superior, hi, you're on the air. We're almost out of time.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a quick comment that, you know, anyone who thinks there's fairness in media, you know, doesn't pay attention to the corporate, elite corporate structure that owns most of the media these days, and they're not, without any kind of, you know, federal regulation, there's no way you're going to have anything but right-wing talk on the air and at dominating. And, you know, this the jingoism of your guest just leads me to believe, you know, he's representing a corporate front group trying to promote, you know, his radio control.
It's you're a conservative media watchdog group, right, Cliff Kincaid?
Yes, and we're supported by individual citizens. We're a citizens' organization. We get no money from corporations. We're just trying to guarantee what the First Amendment was supposed to mean based on what our founders said.
Well, we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Cliff Kincaid, editor at Accuracy in Media, or AIM, a conservative media watchdog group. In the first half hour this morning, we heard from Isabel McDonald, Communications Director of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, FAIR, or a liberal watchdog group. So both sides on this issue of whether or not we should have the Fairness Doctrine back in place. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.